With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
I've been saying for now almost a year and a half, the idea that Robert Mueller is somehow Harry Potter and that this report is this wand that's going to fix everything and all we have to do is wait for Mueller, I think is going to be proved to be ill-advised on the part of Democrats. This is going to be a long, drawn-out fight that may last a decade or more to figure out exactly what did Donald Trump do, what did he know, when did he know it, and the Mueller report is one point along a very long journey for the country.
Van Jones speaking there. The subduing of the anticipation of the Mueller report and what is inside of it, I think it's telling. I think the idea that the Mueller report, it's like everyone was like, oh, wait until we see what's in the Mueller report. I'm like, exactly. Let's wait until we see what's in the Mueller report. Can we put the emphasis on the right syllable in that in that sentence? We've spent 2+ years invested in, going on 3 years, invested in what did Trump do with Russia to steal this election. It's been a given. It's been something that we've accepted as part of the fabric of this presidency. What if the answer is nothing? What if after the end of all of this, we find out that there's nothing?
Don't you think that that's what the answer is going to be?
I do.
I do too.
This is an ABC report. It says no more indictments expected in the Mueller report, in the Mueller probe. The White House, Congress, and the American public are all still waiting for the special counsel Robert Mueller to complete the investigation into Russia interference in the 2016 election. Mueller's team has not filed any new cases in 2 months, and sources tell ABC News no more indictments are expected as a result of the probe. Really? But.
Big but.
Big but. Let me ask you this. So, because here's what I think. Here's what I think's going to happen. There's not going to be any, there's not even going to be a hint of collusion anywhere. Mm-hmm. But he's going to find a business deal that was done in 1983 by Trump, the company. Not any, like, evidence of a hardcore crime or anything like that, but he's gonna reveal some
shady
business deals that Trump participated in 40, 30 years ago.
Does anybody think that Trump didn't probably participate in shady business deals?
Does anybody think that every billionaire
hasn't done that?
Participated in some kind of shady negotiations or whatever? No, of course not. But will that be enough for Democrats to go, okay, maybe there was, they won't even say, okay, maybe there wasn't collusion, but they'll say, look, this is why we did the investigation and it was worth it because now we found out that the president did. I mean, that's everything that this has already uncovered, Manafort, Flynn, all this, none of it has had anything to do with what the purpose of the investigation was to see if there was collusion. It's all stuff from years prior in personal life that is before any of these, you know, before Manafort was even in politics.
The other day, Trump was walking up to the helicopter press conference, my favorite ones, where he says really interesting things and it's clouded over by in the background the whole time. I'm like, gosh, it's hard to play that on the air.
Say it.
That's right. But he walks up to this little mini presser thing. And he walks up to them going, no collusion, no collusion. And Ocasio-Cortez tweeted out after the fact, he goes, no collusion, no collusion. And she said that's because he's afraid to say no tax evasion and no something else. This is how you know that the Democrats are done with the Russia investigation. They're done with it because they've shifted your attention, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. They've shifted the focus of Donald Trump's shortcomings from Russia collusion, the idea that he stole an American presidential election from the American people with the help of the Russians. That's insane to think that that would have or could have happened. And now they're like, but look at, we need his tax returns. We need to prove that this president has evaded taxes. President Trump was saying, as a candidate, I know all the ways around these tax laws. I've used them. I've used them for my benefit. He said, maybe that's a good reason why I would be a successful president when it comes to tax reform, because I know how the system works. He said he used it. Not illegally, but he said, I know how in his words, people like me, people like Donald Trump, take the tax laws and work through and around and up and over the system. And when he said, when he talks about the rich, you know, quote unquote, paying their fair share, which is the term we hear from the left quite a bit, he talks about making the system more honest in that capacity. But he's not talking about, you know, doing shady business deals and suggesting that he's just illegally evaded taxes. I don't think that the American people will care at all at this point if they find anything from a business standpoint that the president did. And that's a monster that's been created by the Democrats. The idea that they've been hunting him for 2+ years. Because they don't want him to be the president. It's not because they're not okay with him. I guarantee you that there are other big business moguls that are out there right now that could be, searched and skewered for every business deal that they ever have done before. But they're not a Republican president in the United States. It's not the fact that they think that he's corrupt that they want to call out. It's the fact that he's a Republican, which is where it becomes a lot more about me personally, or you, if you consider yourself to be a Republican or conservative, or you know that Hillary Clinton would have been the worst thing for the future of the country. That becomes personal to us. So when you're on a witch hunt, yes, I believe it's a witch hunt, to uncover collusion with Russia to steal an election, and that through a thread of bobbing and weaving through all of these subpoenas and indictments and testimonies that they've been able to pull out of this suggestion that he somehow colluded with Russia. Now we've moved into an entirely different realm of wrongdoing. My opinion is that the American public is so calloused to this nonsense that the American public won't actually care. If anything, it might build on the callous that has been created and cause people to support the president even more. This president doesn't have to be to pretend to be anybody he isn't. People like him for him. He doesn't have to go to the gym and prove that he pumps some iron and wears a cute t-shirt to make people be like, oh, that's just like me. I want me to be president. I don't want me to be president. I want somebody who knows stuff. I almost said a bad word.
Things.
I want somebody who knows things that I don't know and understands that the government of the United States needs to work for the people, not instead of the people. You've got the Green New Deal talking about, what did they call it? The pay for people who don't want to work? I mean, suggesting like there's going to be a wage for people who just elected not to work.
Yeah.
What? It's really crazy. And it's so crazy, the ideas that are being presented to the American people with the Democratic primary candidates all being like, well, I'd be willing to consider that. They're not all saying, yeah, this is what we need to do. They're all like, I'd be open to the discussion.
Do they think that we're that lazy? Like, we're moving towards, you don't have to work, but you could still make an income. Why would you think that people are that lazy?
Because they're trying to appeal to a group of individuals who would give somebody their vote for that type of promised future. It's all about power. Don't ever, ever, ever listen to any politician on any side of the aisle suggest that they are going to work towards a government solution to your problem that doesn't involve you surrendering your liberty to the government to make that happen. Any security that is promised to you by the government is going to cost you something. It's probably going to cost you tax dollars, and the bigger government gets, it's probably going to cost you liberty and freedom. The larger the government gets, the less power the American people, we the people, actually continue to retain. And every time you get a sweeping proposition by the Democrats suggesting that the government should be there to solve some sort of massive problem, and Lord have mercy, they attach the word free to the solution, wow, are we being sold a bill of goods. When they say they want to go after big business, you know what they want? They want the power that the big business has. The power structure isn't going to change from your position and my position. We are still the little guy in flyover country in the middle of the United States of America. We are still on the same side of that equation. We don't become the powerful. We continue to be the powerless. When the government is in the business of picking winners and losers and assessing that on whatever grounds or standards they, when they get together and have committees and come up with something that they want to now input to make things more fair, how often does that involve restoring power to the American people, the American person? Or how often is the solution that comes out of those conversations a removal of power from somebody who is powerful and consolidating that power in our government? That's the problem with big, expanded, overreaching, overregulating government, is that they want to point at somebody and talk about how big and powerful this entity is, and they want to talk about how bad that is, and then they end the solution quietly in the footnotes with, that power will be coming to us, not back to you. That's a big problem. That's the difference between big government and little government. And our conservative ideals are supposed to be rooted in the idea of smaller government, not $22 trillion deficits, not this massive spending where we're paying six figures a year to put shrimp on treadmills. That's my favorite one. That one has stuck in my mind forever because the visual is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth $600,000. I would pay $6 to see a shrimp on a treadmill. But this is where our government goes with our tax dollars, and it is out of control. We have to, as conservatives, keep in mind where the power structure is always putting us in the equation, and we are always on the weaker side of the equation. And when you have these Democrats come in and talk about health care is a right, education is a right, you're still going to be afforded some sort of controlled health care. And if they want to take it out, take the power of the healthcare out of the hands of the insurance companies or the pharmaceutical companies, and then just transfer it to the hands of those in government, I still don't have any more power. And in fact, I'm most guaranteed to have less opportunity and choice. That's the difference between the big guys and the little guys. And if the power structure is always set up against us, then we need to make sure that we do something to change it. When we come back, we're going to speak with Paris Denard. Very excited to talk to him about the president's executive order to promote free speech on college campuses. We're also going to try to get to some phone calls here throughout the rest of the show. Gabe Pfeiffer joining us in studio for the whole 2 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about everything and anything. Open phones, as well as 140. Rob Kramer is going to come in and talk to us about what's trending digitally. And just basically hang out with him because he's fun. So stay tuned. A lot more Annie Fry Show headed your way.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Searching for signs.
What was that waste report thing you just told me about quails?
A few months ago, I think we did it at the beginning of the year. I don't even know if we ever used this on the air or not, but I put together the Annie Fry Show Government Waste Report. And it's just a bunch of stats about what the government has wasted a lot of money on. $11 million for an aquatic plant control program. $663,000 for a brown tree snake eradication program in Guam. And many others, including my favorite. $518,000 in federal grants to study how cocaine affects the sexual behavior of Japanese quails.
Oh, my Lord in heaven. What could possibly come from...
There's so many things in that sentence.
Scientific... Yeah. Quails, cocaine,
sexual behavior, Japanese quails.
Why Japanese quails? What do we not know about Japanese quails?
And if they're doing it, if they're spending $518,000 to study how cocaine affects the sexual behavior of Japanese quail, how much are they spending to see how much it affects the sexual behavior of robins?
Yeah.
And
what if it's different?
Bluebirds.
It's ridiculous. All right, we'll keep following up on these just so we can all be equally annoyed.
Yes.
The president signed an executive order Thursday afternoon that would withhold federal funding from public and private colleges and universities that do not protect free speech on campuses. And here to talk to us about that today is GOP political commentator and communications strategist Paris Denard. It's great to talk to you today, Paris. Thanks for coming on with us. Is he there? Can you hear me? Is he up?
Should be there.
Hello?
I'm pushing
Let's
the button.
Let's see. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Well, he will be shortly, I assume. This free speech issue is...
Do you want me to pretend to be a commentator and communications strategist?
What would be different than normal? Let me tell you about this.
I can fake it.
Yeah.
I'll try.
There he is. Paris, you with us?
Yeah.
Okay,
hey,
now
right.
We got him. Yeah, you saved,
thank goodness,
you saved
I didn't
everybody.
Wanna, yeah, I didn't want to have to do that.
Tony was going to wade into some shaky waters there. So, Paris, thanks for being with us today. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
So, this executive order from the president regarding free speech, can you kind of set the table for us on why he decided that this was an action he needed to take?
Well, I think if you look at the way the president has really embraced a lot of younger Americans who have signed on to his Make America Great agenda and have joined the movement and his campaign, he's been really responsive to some of the things that have been going on. And during his administration, there have been several examples of more liberal institutions in our higher education community that have been, some could call it discriminating against conservative voices. You've had people like Ben Shapiro and conservative leaders be uninvited, or they cite security concerns because they don't want to have Republican or conservative speakers. And so there's been issues that have been very well publicized in the media, very well publicized online, of the silencing or the First Amendment rights of student-led organizations like Students for Life and other conservative or prominent Republicans, being their voices not being able to be heard on college campuses. And a lot of them have been in support of this president. And so the president, listening to the countless examples that have come to his desk, was being responsive in terms of this executive order. And that's why I think that the American people have come to appreciate this president, because he listens. And then he does what he can to respond, and he's responding to not a voting group that doesn't overwhelmingly vote Republican. He is doing something for college students, because these protections not only help protect conservative speech, but it protects religious freedom and freedom of expression when it comes to religious organizations across the board. And so this is not just a Republican thing. This is for having debate on college campuses. We should have that debate. We should want to foster debate and have healthy dialogue about differing issues without one side or the other being silenced. So it's a positive step in the right direction. And pretty much what the executive order says is what those, it's referring to grants and grant-making recipients from, think about 12 grant-making agencies. That says if you find examples of of violations, you can call to question whether or not you can receive the funding that has been given to you, because it's not right to receive federal dollars while violating federal law. So that's what the president is doing. In addition to that, the executive order also called for more transparency when it comes to student loans. We know that student loan debt is a crisis in our country. Nearly 44 million Americans have borrowed close to $1.5 trillion worth of student loan debt. And so when it comes to making these financial aid decisions, the president wants students and parents and family members to have more access to better information. And so there's calls for more transparency from universities. And so these are positive steps I think the president is taking to acknowledge some of the issues that are happening with millennials and those people affected by the higher education system.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Paris Denarda, GOP political commentator and communication strategist, regarding the student loans interest that the president has weighed in on. I think a lot of people are talking about the cost of college right now, certainly in the mm-hmm. wake of the Operation Varsity Blues revelation, finding out about mm-hmm. all of this side door entry into universities. It's interesting to connect those two, the free speech and that student loan and cost to educate ourselves at higher levels. When we look at the cost to go to university and then a lot of the speech and the groupthink that has previously taken place, quieting one side and elevating another, is this something that the president will continue to pay close attention to going forward in his administration?
Well, I felt that this is something that is of great importance to Secretary DeVos. I was actually with her and spoke with her yesterday about some higher education issues. I know that when it comes to transparency, when it comes to making college affordable, and when it comes to looking at the workforce and trying to address workforce development and this job market that we have and the entrepreneurial spirit that we have in our country, college is not for everyone. That's just a fact.
Right.
But we have to do, for those people who choose to go to college and those people who want to go to college, especially those first generation, those low-income students that want to do this, we need to make sure that it's affordable. We need to make sure that we're not setting them up for failure. And when I say failure, it means I'm not going to tell you that you're going to go to college and need to go to college and then go get a four-year degree and have so much debt that you cannot get out of it. And so a lot of that we know because the Obama administration, it comes from the federal government because they did away with private loans. And so the federal government's on the take for that. The president's saying, well, what can the federal government do? So we can't do everything, but what can we do to make it more transparent, to help them have more financial aid literacy, and to also say to these universities, if you are going to be educating our students, taking federal dollars and giving them the debt that has to force them to take the debt to go to your school, then at least let them be educated in a place where both sides are heard and certainly conservative and religious organizations are not stifled as you take federal dollars and so from grants and such. So I think that you will see more examples of the president listening and responding to diverse groups of people that otherwise might have felt left out by the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an important conversation. Does the availability of these federal student loans, the accessibility of them, does that lead to inflating the cost of education just by virtually guaranteeing that these dollars are going to be made available to students?
You know, that's a very good question. I mean, people can make that argument. But I think what we have to do is and what the president and I know the administration is focused on, is saying, look, if you take out this degree, this is going to be your earnings. This is going to be your ability to pay it back. I think this administration is more focused on the outcomes, right? So when I'm mm-hmm. talking about the outcomes are the outcomes of the job that you're going to get, the outcomes of can you afford a mortgage, the outcomes of can you pay back the debt? How can you be a productive citizen? How can you contribute? Do you have the credit to take out a loan, to have the accessibility of getting a loan to start your own business? And so I think that's what the president and the administration is more focused on. But I they certainly don't want to make it a magnet to lure people to get more student loan debt. That's why you see other programs, the president focusing, like the Department of Labor, on apprenticeships, focusing on certification and deregulation of things like getting a licensure agreements so that if you get a license in one state and you move,
yeah,
which a lot of people do, you don't have to pay to get the license again and then take more classes to become a beautician, you know, to be an entrepreneur. So the president's a holistic approach to say that we have to look at this and based upon the outcomes, but also provide different alternatives so that it's not just a solid glowing magnet for student loan debt.
I think it's a great conversation, and I'm glad the president is engaging in it. Because it's the future of the country. We want to make sure that the people who are, you know, becoming, taking over the workforce and providing, you know, paying into the systems that provide for the rest of our country that isn't able to work at the time, that there are plenty of them who can afford to make those, make good careers and not be drowning in unrealistic debt based on, you know, a diploma that looks good, but if it hasn't given you the career that you need to get out of it, it's unbalanced.
That's right. And I think that the last point I'm making is this. The president believes in the dignity of work. Conservatives believe in the dignity of work. And we should, as a nation, and I'm glad this president is doing that, say that there is honor in work, period. And there's no one job better than your job. If you get up in the morning and have an honest day's living and get an honest wage, you are valued and that job matters. I don't care if you are a United States senator, or you're a garbage man, or you're a welder.
Mm-hmm.
There's value and honor and dignity in work, and we should try to, anybody who's well able and wants the job, we should do that. And that's why one of the good things that we've seen in this economy, and there are many to talk about, is the unemployment rate for disabled Americans is at record lows. Because even if you are disabled in this economy, we want to find ways to help you work as well. And I think that's a wonderful thing, to restore the dignity and honor of all work, no matter what it is. Blue collar, white collar, it does not matter. It's all work, and it's good, it's honorable, and we should support it and invest in it.
I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much for joining us today, Paris Denard, GOP political commentator and communication strategist. It's always great to have you on here.
Anytime. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. On Twitter, at Paris Denard, D-E-N-N-A-R-D. Go give him a tweet. Tell him thanks for coming on the Annie Fry Show. You can follow us on Twitter also, at Annie Fry Show. Tony, you got 30 seconds. People can tweet you at TonyColombo971.
And ask your questions to Annie. I am bringing back 20 questions with Tony. Annie is the first person in the hot seat.
Oh, Lord.
If you want to ask Annie anything from the super serious to the super silly, tweet me your questions. Email me your questions. I put my email on Twitter yesterday because some people were pointing out if I tweet the questions, Annie can see them. And they don't want you to see them.
I was looking for them.
I like it.
Nice.
So feel free to
email
me. My email is on the website and on Twitter.
Twitter's public information.
That's right. Ask,
public domain.
Ask anything you've ever wanted to ask of Annie, and I will put all the questions together. We'll sit down and I'll ask her the questions. It's going to be great.
If you want to ask me first, if they're okay.
Nah.
Mm-mm. Rodney, you know how to get hold of
Rodney me. Davis didn't do that.
He's my representative.
I know. And he's got a question on there.
And he likes Nickelback.
He
we
does.
We established that.
He does.
When we come back, Rob Kramer is going to join us and let us in on all the digital trends that are taking place and whatever he brings in here. It's kind of like a grab bag of stuff, which is great. I like not knowing what he's going to bring into the studio. And so Rob will be in here in just a minute with that. And Gabe Pfeiffer in studio with us. The whole 2 o'clock hour, we'll be taking a lot of phone calls. So you can call me and ask me questions right now, and then I'll tell you if they're okay to tweet at Tony Colombo 971. I'm going to be picky. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't know if we can start the show or if we need to let Katie continue her moment with the cranberries today.
I love the cranberries.
I'm going, Katie! Katie!
They're like,
Katie! And she's just grooving. Yeah. Which, if you're watching the webcam,
love it.
You got to see that jam
happen. Show.
Cranberries are good. They do make me happy. Why not?
You know that whenever it becomes spring and you feel it in the air, that's the
it gives you a little extra energy.
Yeah. The cranberries are like, roll your windows down. Let's go on the highway. Let's be a little dreamy. while you're driving.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a chance to see him?
No.
No.
They're good in concert.
I didn't know you went to go see them, Tony.
Let's get to our guest, Rob. Mm-hmm. Digital, get
down. Hold up. Wait a minute.
You can get the fight, too, if you work hard and stop being bitter and busted.
I don't follow rules. I follow dogs on social media.
Rob, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What do you
got for us? Exciting. So, you know, we kind of talked about viral trends and everything that's going on. You know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Momo challenge.
Yes.
And how kind of is false.
I'm not seeing Momo stuff anymore. So hopefully.
But it's real, Annie. But it's real.
She's stopped hassling people.
It's on everybody's children's videos, right? It's real.
She knows it's yesterday. She knows she's
old. I caught a lot of flack from listeners and followers on social media after you posted that bit.
The interesting thing was, is, you know, I was like, did we get this one wrong? No, every major news outlet was saying this is a hoax. And then there were like copycats.
Right.
The people who were like, well, we're going to make this thing real.
So, right. Anyway. Yeah. So there's something like that going on right now. A lot more fun, however. So this should be a lot better. It's the
less deathy.
The Florida Man Challenge. Are you familiar with this?
I wasn't when you mentioned it before, and then I vaguely remember seeing something. I haven't done it.
So it's super simple, but that's how a lot of these things start, right? Mm-hmm. Is you just go to Google, and you search Florida man, and then your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to share on social media the crazy stories that are being posted of usually men in Florida that are getting arrested for very crazy things. So I took the liberty of creeping both the ladies of the show on Facebook for their birth dates. Columbo is smart enough, and he has me blocked with his privacy settings on, right?
So
he knows what he's doing. So I did the Google search. So I'm going to start with myself. Florida man, January 29th. And the headline was, Florida man who dropped daughter off a bridge is set to plead guilty.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so kind of terrible.
No.
And Katie, yours is kind of terrible as
No.
November 3rd, correct?
Yes, it's me.
Man with groping history opens fire on Florida yoga class, killing two. So right away, I do these first two, and
Florida.
I'm like, it's supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be like whimsical and like, oh my God, these are the most morbid ones
I've seen.
So Annie, you are the savior, you know, star of the show. April 18, yeah?
Yep.
Florida man attacked by crazy squirrel gone nuts.
You see what they did there with the squirrel and the nuts headline?
It was so punny. Mm-hmm. So punny. So, you know, definitely meant...
I get it.
Yeah.
You got it?
What a jerk. So if you haven't done it, it's a lot of fun. And actually, it's kind of, you search now and everybody's talking about the Florida Man Challenge. This actually started in 2015, which is, we talk about the cyclicality of these things, right? They start up, they go away, they come back. So, we'll have the Rob segment in 2 years.
March 29th?
Yeah. What do you got?
Drunk Florida man yells, come and get me to deputies. Is arrested. There you go. This is fun.
So I did it with my mom this morning, right?
Oh.
And I sent hers and it says, when prompted, the man who is asked by the officers, what's that bulge? The man responds, that's what she said. And I said it to my mom, and she goes, what's a bulge?
You sound like Governor Hickenlooper. Yeah. Confessing on his CNN town hall that he's taking his mom to see Deep Throat when they were. It's good grief.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to post, we'll have this conversation posted on our website at 971talk.com/Annie. We'll share it to our show Facebook page. And then you need to comment on there what your Florida man story is. So we'll put it up there and we will read those throughout the show. And if we're having this very serious conversation, somebody's giggling in the background, that means we're reading your comments, which is basically how it goes.
Right. March Madness right now.
Yes.
It kicked off yesterday, the first day of the tournament. Well, if you count the first four games.
We've already gone over
this.
Well, we have a different
discussion.
Frank says, Tony, you said that the first round is what's really the first round, which is what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
And then the other ones aren't playing games.
And today. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Thursday and Friday is the first round. The first the Tuesday games.
We don't count.
That's
it
playing
counts,
games.
But we don't count it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like an exhibition game.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't like them calling that
real.
The first round.
No,
they
me neither.
They call that the first round now. It's not the first round. This is the first
round. It can't
round.
Be.
We just lock that door. We don't let anybody else in the studio, and we're right, right?
Yeah,
that's how that
right.
works?
That's yep. Right. For the time being, until 12:50 or 1:56.
A couple stats on that I think are kind of cool. You know, with the legalization of gambling, with the Supreme Court and all these other sports books are opening up in New Jersey and other, you know, Missouri's talking about legalizing it here probably in 2020. $10.4 billion with a B is what's estimated to be wagered on March Madness over the next 3 weeks, not only with offshore casinos, domestic casinos, but in office pools as well.
Wow.
And wagering on that. But of course, on all the brackets that we did here with our local pool, the NCAA logo on it says, NCAA, don't bet on it.
Don't bet on it.
The advertising revenue alone is around $825 million.
Good
but
grief.
Of course, the players don't see any of that. And I, you know, not to get into the philosophical debate about, you know, amateur athletes and all that.
I think
it's
an interesting debate. I understand that these collegiate athletes are getting an education out of it, and that is of value. But then you have to ask yourself about other people making money.
Right.
When they aren't able to make money and endorsements. Right? It is a very interesting conversation.
They're not even allowed to have a summer job. Mm-hmm. You can't go mow lawns for $10 an hour because that breaks your amateur status.
That's
crazy.
It is crazy.
Well, I think the other side of the coin is we always talk about the most unproductive days. Did you know that the number one day to get a vasectomy in the United States is the day before March Madness? Because men are told that they have to sit down for 72 hours. It's serious. That's a statistic. The number one day for vasectomy is the day before the tournament starts.
I know somebody who did it.
That got a vasectomy the day before because
for that exact reason that Rob just said. Yeah.
Holy moly.
They knew they were going to have to be sitting down for a couple days, and they planned it out.
And then it's a sick day.
It's very smart.
And so if you're an employer, though, you might want to advocate the men in your office that they're going to do it during this weekend because they estimate said that for every hour spent on watching March Madness in the offices collectively in the United States, there's $2.1 billion of productivity wasted. $2.1 billion wasted in productivity for every hour watched by your staff collectively in the country.
How irresponsible would it be to be watching March Madness while we're working? Yeah. We would never do that.
Nobody would do that ever.
That never happened here.
I don't go out and take a meeting in a different room with four TVs and just happen to be working there. No, I don't pay attention. And then the last news of the day was the lineup for Woodstock 50 got announced. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You going?
I wish. You know, 65 acts. You know what's so crazy about it? When it happened in 1969, they lost $1 million because they couldn't collect tickets because the swarm just threw everybody over. Nobody got hurt except for about 8 LSD overdoses, and they had to have a hippie tent. Right.
Well, thank you, Rob, for coming in here. And
you're
enjoy
welcome.
Your frozen peas. And thanks for having us on while you are recovering from your vasectomies.
Yes.
We'll be back trying to top that with Kate Pfeiffer.
Avalon Nemo? You could ask your son.
Dad, do I really have to?
Or hope for a drought. Or better yet, purchase a commercial grade Hustler mower from Lincoln Power Sports. With a Hustler, you not only go the distance in half the time, you'll be mowing with one of the most dependable, toughest built mowers in the industry. With approved credit, you can mow now, pay later. Come see the entire Hustler line at Lincoln Power Sports, your Hustler professional sales and service center. LincolnPowerSports.com or 636-356-1281. Lincoln Power Sports. Tune in to Safe Money Radio, now 5 times a week, Saturday 2 to 3 p.m., 7 to 8 p.m., and Sunday 7 to 8 a.m. and 5 to 7 p.m. Safe Money Radio is a radio program that helps those near retirement or already retired wealth management, income planning, and asset protecting strategies. You'll hear ideas that will help you keep your retirement funds growing and never losing. Safe Money Radio, now 5 times a week on FM News Talk 97.1.
Time to replace the flooring in your house, or maybe you're making a new home purchase and you need to finish the basement. Maybe there's never been flooring down there. Now it's time to reach out to Michael's Flooring Outlet. This weekend, stroll into any of their four locations, St. Charles County on at 116 Main Street, in West County on Olive, North County on Lindbergh, and also in Darden Prairie. Online anytime at michaelsflooringoutlet.com, and you can see all of the beautiful different kinds of floorings that they have for you. Now, if you go to a big box store and you pull the guy out of the appliance section to talk about the flooring that they have available to you, make sure that while Michael encourages you to do that, make sure that you do stop by and talk to the wonderful staff at Michael's Flooring Outlet before you ultimately make a purchase. They have an expert staff. They have all of the flooring out where you can touch it, feel it, see it, walk on it. It's a really awesome place to shop for flooring, and you're going to get the best price there. Visit them online anytime, and visit them this weekend, michaelsflooringoutlet.com.
I'm Brian from 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
We make junk disappear.
Anytime.
Anywhere.
We show up wearing snappy, happy uniforms.
In clean, shiny trucks.
You're going to feel like you have a brand new house.
Big and clean.
Spacious and open.
Happy and cheerful.
Full of light.
We're happy to crawl through your attic and dig through your basement. We're the world's largest full-service junk removal company. We make junk disappear. All you have to do is point. Point at a sleeper sofa. Gone. Point at a beat-up old garden shed.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.